I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. And I want you to hold your finger in Proverbs, because we're going to be referring to that a little bit later. I'll be turning to other scriptures, but keep your finger in Proverbs, please. Chapter 31. So here we go. Proverbs 31 and verse 1 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us this morning to get something out of the message, all right? Especially you mothers. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word too, Lord. Thank you for this verse, this very special verse in Proverbs 31, where we see that a king is referring to a prophecy that his mother taught him, and all the goodness and the good things that he was taught out of that, Lord, that was written down in Scripture for our admonition, you tell us. For us upon whom the ends of the age have come, we can get things out of this, Lord, that you taught. You taught from the Old Testament, available for us today, Lord, to learn from. We pray, Lord, as we read the Scriptures this morning, listen to the Word preached, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would impart to each one, Lord, a blessing, and, Lord, even teaching and even rebuke where we need it, Lord. And we pray that as we go through these Scriptures this morning, Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak to us and make us, Lord, to be people that are honest about you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, today being Mother's Day, that special day that comes around just once a year, which children, both young and old, designate specifically to honour our mothers, I sought the Lord praying for inspiration and wisdom for something to offer from His Word that would be encouraging as well as instructional to mothers. Now, all the mothers in our small congregation. People who know me well know that I'm not a sentimentalist. And preparing a message for a special occasion like honouring mothers on Mother's Day is not really my forte. You know that, eh? It's not that I didn't love my mother and honour the role that she played in loving, protecting and teaching me right from wrong to the best of her ability during my childhood years. It's just that I'm not an emotional type of person, and certainly not given to sentimentality. So when it became clear to me that Mother's Day was coming up, and it also became clear to me that for His own reasons, which are presently unknown to us, God was not about to provide us with a replacement for Pastor James in time to bring a message for the occasion of Mother's Day, I knew I would need to seek Him more earnestly than perhaps I would if I were to bring a message on the topics that are more in line with my ministry type, my ministry giftings and personality type, like defending the faith, or exhorting us to be determined in our hearts to be willing to serve God in whatever He might call us to do and walk in obedience to His Word. All right? That's my forte, normally. Anyhow, God promises to each one of us that if He calls us to a particular task in serving Him and His people, then He will also equip us for whatever is needed to perform that task, providing we obey Him. Providing we obey Him. So I earnestly sought the Lord that He would inspire me with something today that would be encouraging and instructional and a blessing to mothers. And not just for mothers, but for ladies generally, both young and old, and also for the men. All right, no good the men coming to church if we don't speak to them too. Although there is abundant mention of women in the Bible, I was quite surprised that there's not really that many instances in Scripture that someone can appeal to in order to prepare a message that can say, here is the perfect person I can use an example in my message on mothers. There's not really that many examples in the Scriptures. I did mention to a couple of my male friends in the church here about my predicament in finding a good reference to a lady and her testimony as a mother. I mentioned to a couple of blokes. I won't point any fingers, all right? But they weren't really that helpful to me. They weren't that helpful either. One of the helpful blokes suggested that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would be a good subject. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Maybe we'll talk about Mary. But when I asked my helpful friend what mention there was in the Bible specifically about Mary and her role as a really great mother, it turns out that, except for her examples of motherly devotion to Jesus, there is really very little information about her life that would be suitable for a whole message on Mother's Day or to mothers on Mother's Day. There's not much there. Nothing much there. Besides, as I pointed out to my helpful friends, it wouldn't really be appropriate to prepare a message that focused upon Mary and Joseph abandoning their 12-year-old son, Jesus, in Nazareth for 3 days and 3 nights when they were returning home to Nazareth after celebrating the Passover feast. Surely, you wouldn't want to know about that, would you? You all know about that, eh? We can't use Mary as a good example. They left Jesus in Jerusalem. After the Passover feast, they're going back to Nazareth. 3 days later, up the road, where's Jesus? They abandoned him in Jerusalem, so he couldn't use her. What would we say today about a mother, and a father for that matter, who would drive from Cairns here, down to Brisbane for a couple of days with the whole family and a bunch of friends, and when they decided to pack up their belongings and drive back home, they got back as far as Townsville before realising that one of the kids was missing and was still somewhere in Brisbane, abandoned to their own fate. What would we say about a parent like that? Eh? Today, if the Child Protection Agency found out about something like that, they would likely seize the kid from our custody and have us charged with child abuse or gross negligence, wouldn't they? That's what would happen today. So, had to forget about Mary. She's not very good. Someone else suggested to me, well, what about Sarah? What about Sarah's example as a good mother? But after a bit of thought, I pointed out that Sarah wasn't really that good an example either. She messed up everything when she didn't believe God when she and Abraham were told that they would have a son. You remember what happened? She ended up convincing her husband to have a relationship with another woman, and that woman produced a son, Ishmael, who she then persecuted and drove out of her home. Wasn't her son, but it was Abraham's. But she's the one that set all that up. And because of that, we now have all the trouble between Muslims and Jews in the Middle East. That's where that all come from. That's where Ishmael is the father of all the Muslims and Arabs. Anyhow, what about Rebekah, the mother of Isaac's two sons, Esau and Jacob? Maybe I could prepare a message using her as an example. But when we read the story of that family, it was a bit of a disaster too. So Rebekah's the same. She's got a history. I wouldn't want to mention that Rebekah had a problem with favouring one child above another, which God condemns, which caused hatred and strife between the two brothers. Murderous hatred which remains to this very day. So, running short of mothers to talk about. Anyhow, after trying for some time to think of someone in the Bible who would be good to use as an example of the perfect lady who was a mother, and after considering my helpful friend's suggestions, I realised I needed to pray to God about this looming problem of having no idea what to talk about that would be an encouragement. And Mother's Day was only a week away. So I did pray. Hey, that's always good to do, eh? Pray. Seek the Lord. Well, I did after a while. But I consulted all my mates first, see what they thought. I didn't consult God. I consulted my mates. And so Mother's Day was only a week away, and I realized, well, I better pray to God about this. So I did pray, and I asked God for inspiration to help me get something ready. Amazingly, God gave me some direction pretty well immediately. The first thing that I believed the Lord helped me to see was pretty remarkable, I thought. It was a question, really. The question was, where in the Bible is the example of a perfect person who was a mother? That's the question I got. Where in the Bible is the example of a perfect person who was a mother? Now, we have to be careful here that we don't get the question mixed up. The question isn't, where in the Bible do we find a person who was a perfect mother? No, I didn't ask that. No, and somebody else didn't ask me. No, the question I thought of was this. Where do we find the perfect person who was a mother? Not where do we find a person who was a perfect mother, where do we find the perfect person who was a mother? Think about that. The answer is we don't. We don't find any mention in the Bible of that. We don't. That's the answer. And it changed the whole perspective of how I looked at trying to find an example of a mother who I could speak about for Mother's Day, a person who was an example that would encourage the mothers and also everyone else here this morning, without also making light of and endorsing any of the obvious faults of these particular mums who are mentioned in the Bible. What I came to realise was really like a revelation. It's one of those light bulb moments, you know. God hasn't got any examples of any mothers in the Bible who are sinless and perfect, you see. God has not got any examples of any mothers in the Bible who were sinless and perfect. I had been looking for a perfect person when I should have been looking for someone who was, humanly speaking, a perfect mum. I was looking for a perfect person. I should have been looking for someone who, humanly speaking, was a perfect mum, a perfect mother. What does Paul tell us in Romans 3:10 about how perfect any of us might try to convince ourselves or anyone else that we are? He very truthfully informs us, there, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Is that what he says? That's what the Bible says. There's none righteous. No, not one. The wording of this verse indicates that Paul was referring to something that had been written in the Old Testament about this imperfection of all people, including mothers. As an example, I'll quote Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. Don't worry about turning there for time's sake, but I'll quote it for just to give you an idea. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside," he said. "They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Wow. "There is no one who is righteous in all of themselves," God was saying, you see. And we need to understand that. I mentioned Mary at the beginning of this message, who we could be tempted to discount as a good mother because of her one example of neglect of her child. But Mary was not perfect, you see. And she never claimed to be perfect. Mary wasn't perfect, and she never claimed to be. The Catholic Church claims that Mary was born sinless, and that she remained sinless until her supposed assumption into heaven, where she is helping Jesus as his co-redeemer and co-mediator. But Mary never said that. The Roman Catholic Church says that. Of course, we who read our Bibles know that Mary wasn't sinless, and neither was she a perfect person. Scripture plainly tells us in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And also in Luke 2:24, we are told that Mary offered two turtle doves as an offering to God for her purification. And in Luke 1:46, she referred to God as her Lord and Saviour. Only an imperfect person who is a sinner like the rest of us needs to have an offering for her sins. Is that right? And only a sinner, that's right, isn't it? If you're a perfect person, you don't need to offer sacrifice for your sins. And only a sinner who has recognised her imperfections and called upon the Lord to save her from its penalties ends up having someone who she can call her Lord and Saviour, like Mary did. So, despite what the Catholic Church teaches, the Bible teaches otherwise. Mary was like us, a sinner who needed to be saved. So what I ended up seeing after I stopped consulting my mates and started consulting God, amazing, eh? Consult God. Was that there is no such thing as a perfect person who ever got mentioned in the Bible as a humanly perfect mum. What I saw, though, through the lives of all these imperfect people in the Bible, people who turned out to be humanly perfect mothers in their children's eyes, not to mention their husbands, was the grace and mercy of a God who forgives us of our sins if we repent and call upon him to do so. And then he equips us for the task of being parents. And in the case of our topic today, for being mothers. Mother's Day, so he equips ladies for the task of being mothers, which without his help is a near impossible task, which sometimes, even with his help, mothers can still fail at. But despite any failures there might have been along the way, whether before becoming a mother or after, God does have some examples in the Scriptures. Not of perfect people, but of people who were sinners like the rest of us, but who knew their God and did the best they possibly could under trying circumstances to be mothers that God honoured and that their children and husbands loved and honoured as well. Therefore, I'm going to use the example of a mother mentioned in Scripture this morning, who might come as a bit of a shock to some. But when you understand why this lady is favoured by God, you will perhaps understand, as I've already mentioned, the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful grace of our God, and the undeserving forgiveness that He offers through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to all who will acknowledge their faults and sins, repent and turn to Him. What I want to talk about briefly on this Mother's Day morning is about a chapter in the book of the Bible, in the Bible that is dedicated to a mother by her son, where he recounts all that his godly mother passed on to him as instruction about how he should live his life in such a way that would avoid some of the painful experiences of life that she and her father did. I'd call my message this morning, Imperfect Ladies Make Really Perfect Mums. That's the title of my message today. Imperfect Ladies Make Really Perfect Mums. Because the name of the lady, the example I want to use this morning, as a good mother, is Bathsheba. And her son's name is Solomon. And you will find the account in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. You still should be there in Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll read it again. We'll see a son's tribute to his mother that I hope will encourage all mothers here today. That God already knows that none of us are perfect people. None of us are perfect. All right, but that he uses imperfect people who, with his help, turn out to be, humanly speaking, perfect mothers. If they determine to commit their lives to him and look to him for their wisdom and strength to perform that special God-given task. Our message started off this morning with verse 1 of Proverbs 31, where we read the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Bible scholars down through history have mostly come to the conclusion that King Lemuel refers to King Solomon. And as we all know, King Solomon's mother was Bathsheba, and his dad was King David. The name Lemuel literally means for God, or consecrated to God. And it was probably a name of endearment that Bathsheba used for Solomon. I should mention that none of my helpful mates mentioned the name of Bathsheba when they were trying to help me with the name of some mother that I could use in my message for Mother's Day. You wouldn't think, oh, Bathsheba would be a good example, would you? You wouldn't think that? No, none of them even mentioned it either. But the point is, if we want an example of a lady who had a past life that no lady should wish to emulate, then we should need to look no further than Bathsheba. We all know the story of Bathsheba. I'm not going to go into it. But if you haven't heard about it in Sunday school, get your Bible and read about Bathsheba and King David and how they came to get together. Horrendous story. Terrible sin. Her first child died as a judgment upon their sin. And any wonder she could call this son of hers Solomon. She called him for God. His name, Lemuel, means for God. Consecrated to God. I'm going to consecrate this child to God. He's forgiven me my sins. Amen. So I just mentioned, nobody would want to think we should emulate Bathsheba, perfect for a message on Mother's Day. But is this really so? I think that would be only true if, like I was trying to do at first, we look for a perfect person, forgetting that not only mothers, but most everybody else mentioned by name in Scripture also had some imperfections or even gross sins in their lives until God got hold of them, sorted them out, and ended up using them for His glory and purposes. You go through the Bible and pick out any name and check out the history of that person. Well, what about Saul? He must have been a good bloke. He was getting around killing Christians, killing them before God got hold of him, and he became the Apostle Paul. What would we think of somebody today running around killing Christians? Kill some of us. Think that bloke's no good, he's going to hell. God uses imperfect people for perfect roles that he's got for them. So even when we look at the human genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Bathsheba became a part, we see all kinds of imperfect people in there. Rahab the harlot from Jericho comes to mind. And she even gets mentioned in the Faith's Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. We're not going to have time this morning to fully examine and appreciate everything that Bathsheba taught her son, King Solomon. But we're going to read through some of the verses in Proverbs 31 and be encouraged and instructed about Bathsheba's hope for her son's life, a life that she knew would be blessed. If only he would heed her teachings. She'd been down the path, you see, like some of us have been. We've been down the path and know what's there if you're not under the protection of God. And Bathsheba had been that type of lady. She'd gone down a path and nearly destroyed herself. God got hold of her and restored her. So she's going to tell her son all the things that she knows to help him avoid that, what she experienced in her life. And that's what we should do. I want to tell you people today, young people, seek after God. I didn't for 35 years until I nearly destroyed my life and then finally got saved. I would have saved myself a whole heap of problem. I would have saved myself a whole heap of horror if I'd have been walking with God as a young person, faithfully with God. You think you're going to miss out on everything? No, you're not. You're going to get into some stuff that's not good. So you need to turn to God while you're young, not after you've destroyed yourself nearly. And that's what Bathsheba did, you see. So as we look at what Bathsheba taught in these verses in Proverbs 31, we need to recognize that King Solomon too is a good example of a son who didn't turn out perfect, despite his mother's perfect advice and best intentions. Although we should note, as we read these verses, that they are not describing the qualities of Bathsheba and her life. They're not, these verses that we're speaking are not talking about or describing the qualities of Bathsheba and her life, but rather the qualities that Bathsheba hoped would be those of the woman. Those of the woman who ended up being her son's wife and the mother of her grandchildren, of course. Beginning in Proverbs 31 and verse 3, we read, "Give not thy strength unto women." This is her advice to her son. "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." That's verses 3 and 4 and 5. These verses describe a caring mother's anxiety for her child's future. What shall her son turn out to be? I read a comment that suitably describes this anxiety. It was expressed like this. This is what I read in a comment. Somebody wrote it about Bathsheba's advice to her son. And he said, "It is better not to be. It is better not to be than to turn out a bad person. Do you..." This is talking to mothers. "Do you seek great things for that little one you nurse on your bosom? Seek them not, because it is better to be good. It is better to be good than to be great." Did you hear the question? Do you seek great things for that little one that you nurse on your bosom? Seek them not, because it is better to be good than to be great. It is far better for your child to be obscure in holiness than to be conspicuous in sin. So, it's better for your kid to be known for he's a good kid than to be known for he's a devil. Amen? These are truly the sentiments that Bathsheba wished for her son. Reading on from verse 10, we see that you can read along in your Bibles with me. I'll pick out the verses. Reading on from verse 10, we see Bathsheba's hope for a woman of excellence and faithfulness to be her son's partner in life. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands." A virtuous woman is worth more than precious jewels, because she cannot be purchased with money. Beauty can be bought, but virtue cannot. She is worth more than precious jewels because of how valuable her faithful labour is. It is possible to buy a housekeeper, It's possible to buy a housekeeper, but it is not possible to buy a woman who is dedicated to a man and his children from her heart, and who is committed to do them good all the days of her life, in every possible way, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth. The wise man will earnestly seek the Lord's provision for such a woman. Proverbs 9:14 tells us, a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. This reminds us that the type of woman Bathsheba urges her son to seek for a mother, as a mother for his children, comes only from God. The man who wants such a woman must walk faithfully with God and please God in word and deed, patiently seeking Him for His provision. Young men, you want a good wife? Don't go down the pub looking for one. Or the disco. I've seen so many blokes get married to girls that they met down the disco or down the pub, and then 2 years later they're divorced, arguing and fighting. Well, you didn't find her in a very good place. Why don't you come to church? Come to church and seek God for His provision for you. Oh no, that's no girls in the church. Well, God can bring them along. God's in control of people's steps. We've been reading about that heaps of times. You young girls too. Don't go out there looking for a husband. Stay in the church. If you're faithful to God, God will bring one. God will bring the right person into your life. God's in control of everything in the Christian's life. But you've got to be walking with God. Amen? You've got to be walking with the Lord. So, Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. God says that. A prudent wife is from the Lord. And I'll read that again. This reminds us that the type of woman Bathsheba urges her son to seek, as for the mother of his children and for her grandchildren, comes only from the Lord. The man who wants such a woman must walk faithfully with God. And that goes for you young ladies. You're looking for a husband, a godly husband. You're not going to find a godly husband down the pub. He won't be there. He will be in the church. He will be in the church. And not every man that's in the church is going to be the right bloke. Let me assure you of that. But the one for you will be there if you faithfully walk with God. Anyhow, this type of woman that Bathsheba wanted for her son can be trusted by her husband because her first love is God. The reason that she is in subjection to her husband is because she trusts in God. She is faithful to her husband because she first fears God and thus takes her marriage vows seriously. Reading on in verse 26, she openeth her mouth. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. When the virtuous woman opens her mouth, it is not to backbite somebody or to tell frivolous jokes full of innuendo or to get excited about some sensual vanity like Australian Idol or to discuss the latest Hollywood scandal or to swoon over the latest worldly fashion. She opens her mouth with wisdom, it says. The virtuous woman is a wife who is loved by her husband too, and a mother who is loved by her children. We read on in verse 28. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children call her blessed. And her husband also. And he praises her. Bathsheba reminds her son that a virtuous woman is wise because she fears God. In verse 30, we continue on to read that favour is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The source of the virtuous woman's wisdom is her fear of God and her love for His word. You listen here? Did you hear what I just said? The source of the virtuous woman's wisdom is her fear of God and her love for His word. It is impossible for any woman to be truly wise and virtuous without a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as an intimate relationship with God through the reading of the Scriptures. In the midst of her busy schedule, the wise woman finds a way to spend time in the Bible, and she is careful to walk in fellowship with the Lord. women. You want wisdom? We've been talking about that here. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, eh? Where does wisdom come from? Fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you might have wisdom and knowledge, but it's not going to be godly wisdom and knowledge. It's going to be secular, earthly, fleshly. The source of the virtuous woman's wisdom is her fear of God and her love for His Word. It's a pretty well foregone conclusion that the mother who is a virtuous woman will not win any Hollywood Oscars or be chosen as one of the world's most desirable women. But she will have the praise of her children and her husband. Not going to be known out there as anything special, but you will be praised by your children and by your husband. And in closing this morning, let's acknowledge that it is impossible for children to repay their parents for all the good that they have ever done for them. All you children listening here this morning, please. It's impossible for children to repay their parents for all the good that they have ever done to them, especially for the mothers. But at the very least, children should show thankfulness to their mothers and to their fathers. Because I'm going to read a scripture out, and you can turn to this one, please, because it's good to read it. And all you kids who have mothers, everyone's got a mother, you know that? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 with me, please. That's the weird thing, isn't it? We've all got mothers. There's no one on planet Earth that hasn't got a mother. They're trying to get around that, test your babies and all that sort of stuff. But still, you have to get something from a mother to be able to make one. So, all of us are children. All of us. Even me. I'm 72 next month. I'm still somebody's kid. I'm still somebody's kid. I'm somebody's child. You don't have to be little to be a child. I'm just an older child, that's all. But we all got mothers, and we need to honour them and respect them. And we can't repay them for all the good they ever did to us. And you think, oh, your mother never did me any good? You've got to be joking. Who fed you when you were a little kid? You couldn't feed yourself. Had to be your mother. So, let's acknowledge that. Impossible for children to repay their parents for all the good that they've ever done them. Especially for the mothers. But at the very least, children should show some thankfulness. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, you're in there. God commands each one of us. This is what God commands us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, God's talking to children here. Obey your parents in the Lord. What does he say? For this is right. And then he says, honour your father and mother. Honour them. Which is the first commandment with a promise. That's in the Ten Commandments. Honour your father and mother, that you might have long life in the land, it says, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, you might notice, all you kids listening please, you might notice that the scripture, that God, in this scripture, God leaves it pretty well open-ended about what type of parents we children are commanded to honour. God doesn't say anything about only honouring the mothers who have never failed them. Does it? Doesn't say, only honour those mothers who've never failed you, or their children, alright? Doesn't never fail their children at some time during their role as a parent. No, God tells us to honour our mothers, knowing that none of them is perfect. None of them are perfect ladies, and they never will be. But also knowing, as the title of my message reminds us, that humanly speaking, imperfect ladies make really perfect mums. You got that? Imperfect ladies make really perfect mums. And today, we all want to wish all our mums a really perfect Mother's Day. Amen? Let's close in prayer.